Ladies and gentlemen, let's get ready to rumble!
Special technique of shadow boxing.
Yo, 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 what's up? What's going on? What's good, everybody? We are here, and this is the December 12th, 2021 episode of the Boxing Source Radio Show. I'm your host, James Bell, the leader of the Boxing Source. On social media, we do have our pages on Facebook, on Instagram, Twitter, at Boxing Source 2, and through YouTube. And of course, you could catch the podcast through iTunes. You can subscribe. You'll be able to listen to all the podcasts that we have been doing over the years, or pretty much, you know, up to this particular point. We got, you know, a fairly busy thing to go through. I know that, you know, we had like a lot of action pretty much across the world over the weekend. A few things that, you know, we're going to be touching on in this particular podcast is Donaires went over Ray Caballo there in the bantamweight division, and also how the bantamweight division has basically been in a mess this year, which does kind of like focus in or on the particular matchup there between Donaire and Caballo. We'll also get into Conor Benn's knockout win over Chris Algieri. Yeah, definitely talking about that. And of course, we're going to touch on the whole thing with Vasyl Lomachenko and Richard Comey there that was at Madison Square Garden. So want to just touch through all of that, you know, get through that and whatnot. And, you know, just have our thoughts and share, like, you know, our reactions to those fights, plus a little bit more if we get into it, like the whole thing with Dimitri Bivol. He had a fight. You know, some people may have remembered that he had a fight. Some people probably didn't know that he had a fight yesterday, but he had a fight. So we'll definitely go touch on that as well. But wanted to open up with Madison Square Garden's event. Top rank, you had Vasyl Lomachenko, former unified lightweight champion, against Richard Comey, former IBF lightweight champion. You had Lomachenko coming back pretty much in his first bout since his defeat to Teofimo Lopez last year, where he, you know, lost those lightweight titles. Richard Comey had, you know, a fight earlier this year that he did end up winning by knockout over Jackson Mariñez. You know, that was the same Mariñez that had that controversial decision loss to Rolly Romero, where, you know, a lot of people felt like Jackson Mariñez should have won that fight against Rolly Romero, but Romero got that decision. But Comey was able to get that KO victory there earlier this year that kind of like set him up to face Vasyl Lomachenko here in the main event at Madison Square Garden. And, you know, a lot of people were, you know, kind of like trying to see, you know, how Lomachenko would basically perform in this particular matchup against Richard Comey. Comey is there, you know, he's been, you know, a longstanding fighter there in the lightweight division. Like I said, you know, former champion, well-established there at lightweight. Came in there with a record of 30 wins, just, you know, 3 losses to, you know, Robert Easter, to Denis Shavkov, and to Teofimo Lopez. I mean, he's, you know, like I said, been there as a world champion. And he wanted to see if he could, you know, get himself right back into the mix there in that lightweight division. But you have there Vasyl Lomachenko, You know, with just those few fights, he was going into his 18th professional fight. Came in there, record 15-2. You know, and you know, a lot of people were, I guess, trying to see is Vasyl Lomachenko the guy that, you know, everybody knows and loves, is one of the best pound for pound fighters, and can do multiple things at once and all types of stuff. You know, but he did, you know, kind of like face a guy in Richard Comey that was, you know, bigger than him. Leading into the bout, you kind of like seeing both of these guys being respectful to each other all the way through. I think some people didn't necessarily like that. Like, they were smiling too much. They were hee-heeing and ha-hawing, laughing and all that type of stuff. But, you know, in the particular bout itself, you seen like Vasyl Lomachenko was very, very, you know, well, I would say Richard Comey was overmatched in this sense. Vasyl Lomachenko had, like, you know, the movement in and out, forward, backward, going to the side. Of course, you know, seen him as a southpaw, kind of like, you know, throw the right jab, then throw the left, step over to the side, and then follow up with another left, you know, before Richard Comey could reset himself to turn around in order to properly guard from Vasyl Lomachenko's punches. You know, Lomachenko did score a knockdown in the seventh round. Some people kind of like thought that with the amount of offense that was being put on Richard Comey, that they could have stopped the fight. I don't necessarily know about that. I think he was, you know, basically game in a lot of those instances. Yes, he did get hit flush with a few punches that kind of like set him back, you know, on top of the knockdown that happened in round seven. But it didn't like really seem like he was seriously hurt. And I kind of like, you know, view that as like something in reference to Vasyl Lomachenko himself there in the lightweight division. You know, yeah, he did, you know, end up scoring a TKO victory over Masayoshi Nakatani earlier this year. But with the exception of that, you know, you kind of like had like, what was it? The fight against Linares and the fight against Anthony Crawler, where he scored, you know, either a knockout or TKO victories. But, you know, going up against guys like Luke Campbell or Teofimo Lopez, you know, those type of guys, it was like kind of like tough for him to get out of there. Jose Pedraza, you know, there, that went full 12. So, you know, here with Richard Comey, you know, that also, you know, went through the full 12 rounds. And, you know, with that being said, that's kind of like, you know, what we had was a clear decision win for Vasyl Lomachenko there for him to, like, kind of like get himself back into the lightweight picture. But I'm still on the fence with him as far as, like, the top fighters at lightweight. But there's a lot more to discuss in reference to him and the potential matchups for him. But I want to add in a good guest here that's been a huge contributor on the Boxing Source, coming out of Philly, YSM Sports Media, checking in. What's going on?
We hunting big fish in Philly.
Are you going in the ocean?
Oh, yeah. We're going in the ocean. We got a little snorkel and all that. Our bowie knife. And we're going to carve up a big fish.
We're going to carve up big fishes. Oh, man. Yo. Man, what's good, man? I mean, that fight, Madison Square Garden, man. I didn't really expect that much out of it. Lomachenko is, you know, highly favored there against Richard Comey. I thought, you know, the thing with Comey was, you know, with him having, you know, the height and kind of like having a, you know, a powerful punch, that it might have, you know, given Lomachenko some issues. There were a couple of times when Lomachenko did get caught, but not necessarily like caught flush in comparison to, you know, how Lomachenko caught Comey there during the fight. But like, even with a lot of the punches that were landed on Comey, it didn't look like it seriously hurt him to where, like, you know, Lomachenko was like, hey, the corner should stop the fight. The corner should stop the fight. Well, the corner didn't stop the fight, and you didn't force the action for it to have the fight stop. So that kind of like says something about Lomachenko there.
I got a question for you, right? I noticed that fans love to minimize and marginalize certain fighters' opposition and then uplift others. Mm-hmm. Who has Richard Comey ever beat? Anybody that's watching,
where he...
name somebody that Richard Comey beat.
Yeah, you can't like really name it off rip. You know, only the thing with Issa Chaniev was where he won the belt.
I thought he beat Beltran for the belt.
No. He beat Chaniev for the belt when it was vacant, and then the defense was against Ray Beltran.
Okay. He's a good fighter.
So Ray Beltran?
We know Ray Beltran is not a good fighter. I'm talking about the other guy.
Oh, Issa Chaniev. Man, to be honest, I ain't really heard of much from Issa Chaniev since that fight. But he's been active. I'll tell you that.
But dudes want to clown Dev, right?
Mm-hmm.
JoJo Diaz, I can think of two top 10 wins at lightweight that JoJo Diaz has.
Mm-hmm.
Only loss he has to Gary Russell, who is an exceptional fighter, just not active.
Yep.
So you explain that to me, Jay.
Man, I don't know, man. You know, kind of like seeing something out there where it kind of like said, like, hey, all right, we've gone through, what has it been, a couple weeks, right? It's been, a couple weeks. You know, we've had... You know, the fight with Devin Haney, like you said, with JoJo Diaz, it went 12.
Mm.
You had the fight with Tank Davis with, you know, Isak Cruz, it went 12. And now you have Vasyl Lomachenko against Richard Comey, that went 12. Seems like a lot of people were criticizing, you know, Devin Haney and Tank Davis, but they ain't really doing the same thing for Vasyl Lomachenko. I ain't seeing that same energy.
Who's the one that's getting praised, though? He's back. Yeah.
He's back. Look at him. Oh, man, it's the Matrix.
So Dev goes out and beats JoJo Diaz, right? If Ryan goes out and beats JoJo Diaz, it's, oh, yeah, Ryan's the goods. That's another solid win. Dev goes out and beats JoJo Diaz, loses, what? 2-3 rounds, and he gets hit too much. He got exposed.
He got exposed. Man.
Hey, yo, how honest can I be on the show?
All the way 100.
You notice that black fighters can't get hit? If black fighters get hit, no, I'm serious. If black fighters get hit, automatically they're exposed.
There you go. Keep cooking. Keep cooking.
Like, Tank Davis showed another dimension, got the W. And people were saying Isaac Cruz was robbed. To me, it wasn't that close. I had Tank up 8-4, and I'm not even a Tank fan. But I know Tank landed the sharper shots and made Isaac Cruz miss. Like, Isaac Cruz didn't do shit in those middle rounds, like nothing.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
He had a good first round and stole a couple rounds at the end, but no. Devin Haney. I had Devin Haney up 8-4.
Yep.
In a fight that really wasn't that competitive. But Richard Comey, who a dude who was just removed from being starched, one or two fights removed from being starched in the second round by a guy who got cleaned up by George Kambosos. Like, what are we talking about?
Yeah.
Now, I know each fight is different, but we got to start measuring guys under the same guidelines, because I feel like we pick and choose who we're going to scrutinize to the eighth degree and who we're going to, you know, just big up. Like, that's not fair.
Mm-hmm.
But then they wonder why there's a LDBC. It's because you weren't being fair to begin with. Go ahead.
Yeah, man. Shout out to those that are joining in live and those in the live chat. Shout out to Pound for Pound Sports Entertainment in the building. Want to, you know, add in another guest on here. That's he put in the icon of kind of Ben and Chris Algieri, man. Checking in from Tampa, man. It's our guy, the chef himself, that I hope he saved a couple of those recipes from his last catering job. Brother Terrell, checking in, man. What's going on?
Hey, Jay, I don't know what's going on. I can barely hear you guys.
Oh, I don't know, man. Like, everything going good on here. You got me on YSM. You can hear me good?
Yeah, definitely got – I got the homie on. Definitely.
Okay.
Dude, I'm going to drop out and come back in because I can jump. We'll see, okay?
All right, that'll work. All right, so – but, yeah, on this thing here, man, it's like everybody wants to criticize the likes of a Tank Davis and the Devin Haney, and they'll criticize them for like the smallest stuff ever when it comes to boxing. And it's like you said, oh, when it comes to them, oh, they got to be perfect. But if they get hit once, oh, they got exposed. Oh, their chin is in question. Like they let this dude get to him, but at the same token, when, like you said, if it's like a Ryan Garcia that gets knocked down by Luke Campbell, oh, he rose from the, you know, the ashes or had all of this type of adversity to beat to beat somebody.
Yo,
that
for black guys, there is no adversity. There is no adversity.
I guess there's no such thing as adversity for black fighters, it seems like, you know, in this instance, man.
It's vulnerability. See, that's the difference. Mexican guy gets knocked out, grits out a performance, adversity. Black guy does the same exact thing. He's vulnerable. Two different ways to look at the same thing. It's ridiculous.
Yeah,
no, I don't mean to cut you off. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's crazy to me, man. And now we got like folks out there talking about, oh, look at this, man, Lomachenko. He beat this guy. And oh no, look at him. He's there. He's at the top of the. He's looking for all of those guys at lightweight, and all of those guys are. You know, they're scared of him. He beat Richard Comey, and he almost shut him out. And all of these guys are lightweight. You know, they ain't really, you know, looking to fight Lomachenko. And I'm like, wait a minute. Are we talking about the same Lomachenko that could have fought Devin Haney and didn't? And you had all this time to make that fight and didn't? And you know what Bob Arum said about Devin Haney and where he was at and his standing when it came to business? And they didn't make that fight. And yet they're talking about, oh, he should get in there with George Gambosis. Yeah, okay. I get this situation from a financial perspective, y'all. When it comes to like the likes of Tank Davis, Devin Haney, to a certain extent, and Ryan Garcia, the thing with Vasyl Lomachenko is Gambosis could fight Lomachenko, and it might be a little bit easier to make, with the exception of Haney. Haney kind of said that he wouldn't mind being the B side to make that fight happen. But come on, where's all this energy when Lomachenko would not have that fight with Devin Haney? And they pushed for that fight not to happen, which is why they had the tournament in the first place. That's what I'm trying to figure out.
No, that answer would be, he's pillow fisted. That's the answer for her.
He's pillow fisted. He'll really want that fight. He'll get exposed. Lomachenko, you know, dance all over him. Will they make the fight?
Very simple concept.
Yeah. Just make the fight. You know, just go over there.
And I understand the business of it.
Right. But a lot of the, you know, the fans, and you got some that are in the sport that say, oh, these guys don't want to make it happen, when there are certain people within the business that'll tell you that some fights don't even make financial sense. So those fights won't happen. But in the fans' perspective, they say, oh, this guy's not going to fight that guy, so he's ducking. No, nah, that's not how it goes. If you really want to see that fight, then let's see if that party there for Lomachenko is willing to make that fight happen with the likes of a Devin Haney or Ryan Garcia or a Gervonta Tank Davis, especially with Tank Davis, because we know that Tank Davis, you know, he don't have crowds where a lot of seats are empty for his fights.
Mm.
But we know that happens with Vasyl Lomachenko.
Yes.
So if we know that the numbers are very good for Tank Davis, but they're not that good for Vasyl Lomachenko, what do you think that they're going to say as far as like trying to make that fight? Just because it's Vasyl Lomachenko don't mean nothing.
Exactly.
If he's Vasyl Lomachenko, he should be able to put butts in seats. And he's not. Like, I mean, he was just there in Madison Square Garden. You think that he filled up Madison Square Garden? No.
Nah.
But years ago, Gennady Golovkin fought he fought David Lemieux at Madison Square Garden, and he was able to pack the house.
And that's a shame, because I believe Vasyl Lomachenko really, really wants to smoke. I just don't think that fans don't hold certain promoters to the same standards as others.
Yeah. Yeah. And I got something else, too, reference to Lomachenko and Haney. That was kind of funny before the fight. But we're going to check in one more time there to see if our guy Terrell is back on the scene full-fledged. You back on? Looks like he's still having issues, though.
Terrible, 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 terrible.
Yeah, I got you guys better. I got the AirPods on, so that's okay. Be a better for me, definitely.
All right. So, yeah, man, we on this thing here with Lomachenko and Comey, man. I guess folks are saying Lomachenko is back or something. What are you thinking about that, Terrell?
I mean, I didn't get to see the fight in its entirety. I definitely got to see some bits and quite a bit of it in bits and pieces. I mean, number one, Lomachenko looks good. He looks like the Lomachenko when he had the belt. Smooth, fluid, punch from all angles and things like that. So he definitely looked good. And just not only that, he has to look good at this point. With so much activity now going on in the top portion at 135, he has to look good to make himself to be a presentable player. And at this point in time, we all know that the man from down under who has all those belts, everyone is going to be gunning for him as far as bidding for him and wanting to take on that fight. And honestly, when you look at Kambosos and you compare him to a fight with Lomachenko, no, he's not going to win that. He'll get a good payday, but he's not going to win that fight. When you put in a fight with Kambosos against Devin Haney, it's interesting. It's definitely interesting, but I think the odds, biggest, the books will probably favor Haney in that matchup. And also in a fight against Tank Davis, if that ever came to fruition, who wins that fight? Same thing. I think the edge would go to Tank as far as the betting odds, things like that. So, I mean, the interesting thing about Kambosos is like, how long will this guy be around? When we look no further than our man Teofimo, who beat Comey, got his IBF belt, who then went on to beat Lomachenko and became a unified champion from that point. But he ended up losing his first fight in his first defense. So will Kambosos be like that too? We don't know. Time will certainly tell sooner than later, but time will tell. But once again, Lomachenko looked great. I actually gave Comey a puncher's chance to knock him out, something like that, because of the size difference. And yes, we know you need more than size. We need skills, things like that, all that to come together. So size doesn't always prove that you're going to win the fight, as we see. But I gave Comey a puncher's chance, but Loma looked great. The funny thing about Loma, if he had more power, this guy would be phenomenal. I mean, he's already done a lot with
his relatively short pro career, but he's done a lot. But if he had more power, it'd be great. But he looked great last night, though. I'm sure you guys agree, right?
I mean, he did, you know, considering the, you know, who he was there up against. But, you know, like YSM was saying, I'm like, yeah, Richard Comey has been, you know, world champion, but, you know, he was world champion, got a vacant title, was able to defend that title once against Ray Beltran, and then he goes up against Teofimo Lopez and ends up getting knocked out in the second round. He turned around earlier this year and got a win over Jackson Mariñez, you know, got a knockout there. But, you know, it's like you said, he had a puncher's chance, literally, against Vasyl Lomachenko. For me, I've kind of like said this for a long time in reference to Vasyl Lomachenko, is that at this particular point of his career, he had reached his limit as far as like being at lightweight in order to have either the full speed mobility or the power to really kind of like do what he was doing at featherweight and super featherweight. So when that instance came against, you know, Teofimo Lopez, that's why I was leaning towards Lopez in that fight, because I thought that Lopez had the size, the speed, the youth, and, you know, the mentality that, oh, I'm going in there against Vasyl Lomachenko. I don't even care about his status. I'm going in there and I'm going to knock him out. I ain't intimidated by him. I ain't fazed by him. I ain't here to smile. I ain't here to, you know, just show up. I'm here to fight him, and I'm here to beat him. And that's exactly what he did. While here in this instance with, you know, Richard Comey, it's almost like, oh, it's very cordial. They smiling, they laughing, he-he-heeing and ha-hawing. And you can't necessarily do that, you know, against a Vasyl Lomachenko, man. Can't necessarily do that, you know. That can't work. So the thing about it is like, we got to see like how things is going, you know, how things is going as far as like, what happens for Vasyl Lomachenko in the lightweight division in, 2022. Like I said, you got all those fighters, you got, you know, Ryan Garcia, which I don't think would happen, because I think Ryan Garcia might just end up fighting Jojo Diaz, when he comes back in 2022, Tank Davis, nah, that ain't happening. Y'all say what y'all say about Leonard Ellerbe and Bob Arum, but both of those guys know business, and both of those guys know if it don't make money, then it don't make sense. So that ain't gonna happen. Lomachenko and Devin Haney, I keep telling y'all that ship has been sailed. So maybe Lomachenko could get in against George Kambosos, but if Kambosos ends up fighting Haney, guess what? Lomachenko is going to be holding a little bit of a bag, proverbial bag. You know what I'm saying? So we'll see how that runs. All right. Checking in, back in there, Terrell. See if, you know, everything's going good with you. So what's happening, man? What do you think about this lightweight division situation?
Man, it's a damn shame. I've been waiting to get back on the show for the longest, and I don't know what the hell's going on. I don't know what's going on, because, like, even now I got so much distortion in your audio. You see what I'm saying?
I don't know, man.
Damn shame, man.
Yeah, we'll see how I could yo, I might just get back in it here a little bit or something like that. So we'll see how that goes, man. So, yeah, since it looked like Terrell having some issues there, man, you might see how this gets itself back in the game or whatnot. But, yeah, the lightweight situation, man, I mean, I kind of like said this, you know, in a couple podcasts before. You know, we had this whole thing with, you know, the lightweight division. All these top 10 guys were fighting each other. We just had like four fights in the lightweight division, pretty much all involving top 10 guys. And, you know, now that should, you know, try to, you know, clear up some things in reference to the lightweight division. But in 2022, we just got to figure out if that's going to, you know, clear itself a little bit more as far as like the top four or five guys at lightweight to see if they end up fighting each other in 2022. But, you know, it all comes down to what happens with George Kambosos being the unified lightweight champion, who he ends up fighting next. I think he pretty much holds the cards as to who will end up fighting who in the lightweight division there in 2022. So kind of like seeing what happens there with that. But, you know, like I said there with, you know, with Vasyl Lomachenko, man, he did, you know, have his performance there against Richard Comey. But, you know, it just remains to be seen how, you know, it kind of like turns out for his standing there in the lightweight division. Like, everybody's trying to, you know, pencil him in as the guy for that should be next in line to have a shot at the lightweight titles, you know, just because, you know, some people may have thought, oh, you know, Teofimo Lopez should have given Vasyl Lomachenko the rematch. Well, problem is, that particular fight didn't have a rematch clause. So they didn't have a rematch clause. Nobody is under any type of contractual obligation to have a rematch. So that is why that ship had sailed. And so Lopez moved on, fought Kambosos, ended up losing. And so now you got to see if Vasyl Lomachenko could get to the proverbial back of the line and then see if he could get his way back into the lightweight title picture. So that kind of like is the situation there in the lightweight division. You know, next up, I mean, you had also that was on Showtime. They did show the replay of Gervonta Tank Davis and Isak Cruz. Of course, y'all know, you know, that went 12 rounds. You know, decision and victory for Tank Davis. He retained that you know, version of the lightweight title that he has, WBA. So he's still undefeated. Kind of like, you know, it ended his knockout streak. And, you know, with that ending his knockout streak, you know, we kind of like see that, you know, Isak Cruz is a pretty tough guy, pretty tough dude. Yeah, you know, Tank Davis did injure his left hand. And I think that's another thing, too, that, you know, some of the fans kind of like got to back up on it, because it's like, you know, hey, he injured his left hand. He showed you another dimension of his skill set, and you still have some that want to criticize what he was doing there against Isak Cruz. But that's a whole another story. But in that Showtime telecast, the live telecast that was over there in Carson, California, you had the main event there. You had the main event there with Nonito Donaire against Ray Caballo. You know, we had the thing there with Donaire and Caballo. Nonito Donaire, the WBC bantamweight champ, going up against Ray Caballo. And this kind of like goes into the whole bantamweight situation, man. You know, you had, of course, you know, Caballo that had the split decision win over Emmanuel Rodriguez last year, you know. But, you know, we kind of like seen that was a pretty controversial victory there that kind of like set him up there for the fight with Nonito Donaire. But real quick before, you know, I get into that, yeah, like Terrell that's joining through the live chat. And he asked, like, who does Kambosos match up favorably with? I'm going to say that he matches up favorably with Vasyl Lomachenko. I think with the way that he throws his shots, he throws punches very fluently. He has a very, very good jab. And he does have that instance where he doesn't necessarily care who he's in the ring with. He's not intimidated by anybody. You know, he has the confidence that he could beat any lightweight that's out there. And so with the Vasyl Lomachenko, even with the movement, even with his, you know, so-called speed and foot feints and that type of stuff. I would see Kambosos, you know, trying to go through all of that in order to get his shot off. Because the thing about it is that with Vasyl Lomachenko, what he had with against Teofimo Lopez was just confident that he could be able to beat Vasyl Lomachenko, and he had the speed and he had the power to kind of like have Lomachenko second guess a lot of stuff. And I think Kambosos is the same way, that he would be able to have his speed and enough power to have Vasyl Lomachenko second guess himself. But I'm going to see here if I could try to add in another guest to join the Boxing Source radio show. And this guy is on the path of getting himself reelected to be the president of the Deontay Wilder fan club. He is, you know, out there training. He's running laps on the track. You know, he's sparring out there with other guys that want to try to be the president of the Deontay Wilder fan club. But I've heard that he has been dusting these dudes like he's the second coming of Boots Ennis. So once Deontay Wilder gets himself back in the ring, he's going to put in his ticket for the president of the Deontay Wilder fan club. That is the man from the Boogie Down Bronx, Mr. MVO, Matthew Brown. What's going on, man?
Deontay Wilder, I'm talking to you directly because I know you are a regular listener of the Boxing Source show and podcast. We need you, big fella. The game needs you. Boxing has not been shit since you have been gone, okay? Bantamweight is a fucking mess. 135 is a fucking mess. You got all these Johnny come latelys, you know, pretending like they're the next big thing in boxing. You got the Ukrainian midget pretending like he's still the top guy in boxing. You got all these pretenders. But what we don't have is the Alabama Slammer, the Slim Reaper. I'm talking about the bronze bomber, Deontay Wilder. Whatever you're going through, big fella, I see you on Instagram. You look like you're having fun. You're looking healthy. You're looking beautiful, baby. The wife is looking good. Everything's looking good for your brother. You're enjoying yourself a lot, and I love that for you. You were king. You did what you had to do. You accomplished everything in this sport that you set out to accomplish. So you don't owe me anything, but we miss you. We love you, brother, and we are looking for you to get back in the ring as soon as possible so you could do what you do best. And what you do best is knock motherfuckers out. Bomb Squad! How you doing, JR?
I'm okay. I think that opening sequence was basically an interpretation of you just saying, ain't no sunshine when he's gone.
It's not, man. Listen.
Only darkness every day.
It's not that exciting no more. Look, I can't get up for these fights. Like, I literally find myself falling asleep during boxing now, man. Even when we have good fights, I still can't stay up. It's not the same. It doesn't have that same excitement. You know, whenever Deontay Wilder fought, it don't matter how long the fight lasted, you just always felt this tension in the air that you were about to see something historic and explosive. And I just don't get that no more, man.
Well, I guess you have to just look for other options, man, because it might be a little minute before Deontay Wilder gets himself back in the ring.
If he comes back, You know, he wasn't sounding like he wanted to come back.
Man, he gonna come back, man. He gonna come back. Listen, I know. Like I said, I know he got paid good. You know, in his last couple fights, I know he's releasing. You know, this unisex fragrance thing with Tony
Yo.
Smith.
First of all, that fragrance had already came out. I don't know why people act like this fragrance is a new thing. That fragrance came out right before the Fury fight.
So, yo, he could do good business on that. You know what I'm saying? Maybe it comes out, you know, being successful like the Fenty thing with Rihanna or whatever it
is. Yeah, listen, I hope he don't sell one because I need him back in the ring. What? I need him back in the ring.
Oh,
I need
him
back in the ring, man.
Oh, okay. All right. On that note, since you kind of like brought up who you call the Ukrainian midget. Oh my god!
Yeah, that ball juggling fool.
The guy that you know tag teams with Alexander Usyk in the gym with those exercises. Oh man, why are there people that want to kind of like automatically put Lomachenko back at the top of the lightweight division?
Yo,
just one win.
It's crazy to me. It is so crazy to me, like how the narrative surrounding Lomachenko have become so delusional. Even on the ESPN telecast, Lomachenko knocked down Richard Comey and started showboating. He started front running. Oh, Rozier, come stop the fight. You should stop the fight. And then what happened the next round? Fucking Tim Bradley's like, oh, look how humble Lomachenko was being, asking the corner to stop the fight. He didn't want to inflict any more damage on Richard Comey. Like, what? He was showing off. What are y'all talking about? This guy was showing off the whole fight because he knew that he could do that against James Comey. I didn't see him trying to style on Teofimo. I didn't see him trying to style on Orlando Salido because he knew that he was not the better man that night. So I made a tweet where I said Lomachenko versus Comey was like the Harlem Globetrotters versus the Washington Generals, but Lomachenko versus Teofimo was like the Harlem Globetrotters versus a real NBA team. They couldn't do that shit.
Yep. Or like that the AN1 guys versus the NBA.
Yeah, man.
You know what I'm saying? Well, outside of my guy, shout out to Escalade, rest in power, Escalade. You know what I'm saying? All those other guys, you know, with the exception of what, Rafer Alston, Skip Timaloo, like y'all couldn't put those guys up against the NBA team and think they would do something. You know, it kind of like goes into like, I guess what Max said, like he said, oh, he didn't have the stomach to finish a defenseless fighter. So he twice asked Comey's corner to do the right thing and stop the fight so he wouldn't have to. They didn't. And once Comey's head cleared, Lomachenko couldn't.
Exactly. And to me, it's so goofy that this guy was showboating, calling to the corner to stop the fight, but then he couldn't get the stoppage. You know, could you imagine? Do you remember when Deontay Wilder knocked down Tyson Fury in that 12th round, and then he signaled it was over and did his little moonwalk and the blowing and the kiss goodnight?
Yeah.
And you remember when Tyson Fury got up and finished the fight? Do you remember how many people ridiculed Deontay Wilder? Do you know how many times that was replayed? And this is one of the great finishes in boxing history. I think what we have seen and what we are seeing is that Lomachenko is not a good finisher, and he's never been a good finisher. When he got down Pedraza, he wasn't able to finish the D with that. And to me, this was no different. You know, the only guy he finished, if you want to think about it, was Linares.
Well, Lennard, well, I mean, that was like a statement, like an actual knockdown, knockout. Yeah, probably Linares. He did stop Nakatani. Yeah, but Linares, you know, that was,
Linares has never been a dog.
Right.
You know, Linares has always been a guy that if you start getting in his ass, he pack it up and go home. We saw that with Pablo Cesar Cano.
Yeah.
You know? So Linares has never been a dog like that. So to me, Lomachenko has never showed me that he can finish. And it's only going to get worse because he's already old. I think he's washed. I wasn't impressed with him. I don't care what anybody says. I just think he was fighting a one-handed fighter yesterday. Comey's not that good. Comey himself is washed. Comey already been through wars, and Comey's never been a top fighter like that. You know, shout out to him for making a great career for himself, but he's never been a top guy. He had to get there with basically that right hand and with pure guts, but he was never that talented. So to me, the talent deficit was on full display yesterday, and that's why you saw Lomachenko showboating the way he did.
Yeah, pretty much. That's what it was there. I mean, the colleague did talk about the thing for Richard Comey's resume, but I want to add in another guest to come in to the building, checking in from the ATL, another one of the great contributors to the Boxing Source Radio Show, Mr. Michael Grady in the building. What's up, Mike?
Hey, what's going on, fellas? How y'all doing?
Mike Grady, hey, what's good, man? I'm back on Facebook, just so you know.
Okay, when you send me a friend link, we can be friends again.
All right.
So
yeah, I'm petty, man.
So what's up with everybody crowning Lomachenko after this one win, Mike? What's going on?
Are they crowning him? Oh, can
yeah,
I mention one thing
number
first?
One at lightweight.
Oh, he is? Oh, wow. Can I mention one thing first?
Yeah.
The next time I come on to the show, I'm going to have a new avatar name.
Why don't you come up with a picture first, motherfucker?
Don't you got to pay for like a picture?
No, you don't.
Oh, you don't?
Oh,
you
my
don't?
God.
I remember when StreamYard first came on, people talking they had to pay like $1 to get a picture or something.
Nah.
Okay, I was wrong. I'm sorry, man. Okay, I'll get a picture. You want me smiling it? What else you want, Matt?
Hey, man. Listen. I want a picture of you actually watching a fight.
Oh, no.
That won't be possible. I can't guarantee that one.
That's horrible, bro.
Okay, so let me get us back. What were you talking about, boxing now? Because it seemed like we got off track.
Yeah, man. Lomachenko, man.
Well, can I speak on what y'all was talking about? Because I heard a little bit of the showboat before y'all get away from that topic. When he was like motioning the referee and the corner and stuff to come in and stop the fight. Yeah, and then the way that the announcers and stuff were kind of like playing into it and just making it as if he was like some thing bigger than himself, like, you know, it's a good idea, maybe you should do this, you know, because he's just this great guy who don't want to inflict. And, you know, as y'all said, he has never been a great finisher against people who are mentally like defeated. Yes, you know, they're like, oh, it's nothing I can do. And at some point you could tell Comey was you know, mentally he was out of it, but then he realized I just got to keep trying, and at least he won't knock me out. You know what I'm saying? Like, if I stop trying, yeah, they'll stop the fight with him throwing a barrage of like 8 punches. But if I keep trying, maybe I can land a punch. Obviously, he's too limited to be able to do that. At least 9.5 times out of 10, he's very limited. And his ability to do that is not there. But in terms of them saying he the number one lightweight, obviously, we see this man Achilles heel, which is pressure, you know, stepping with him, throwing pressure, If you throw simple 1-1-2 and stuff like that, you know, he does the little lean off on his like left foot. What I don't know which hand he is, but he leans off on his non-dominant hand, and like he get off on that. You know, he get off the line and like lean on his front foot. And then from there, if you throw a punch, he either throws the hook or he does, you know, like whatever to make you pay or whatever. But if you, you know, throw the jabs, like step over with him and don't let him step over. Like when he step over, you step over with him. And you throw shots, you throw, hit him below, you hit him high. You know, he doesn't seem to respond well. And then he just sort of like shells up, kind of sort of. So is he number one? I think he can beat some of the guys. I mean, he can beat Ryan Garcia. He can beat, give me some more names. Does he beat Devin Haney? The only reason why I would say he potentially beats Devin Haney is because I could see him outboxing Devin Haney. You know, like the styles that like go at him and be like a dog, he would probably have more trouble with those as opposed to it being two boxers. Like, for example, if I throw this comparison, if Tyson Fury and Usyk fought, I know Tyson Fury would beat him. Just based off the size advantage, but you know, Usyk would do things, but you know, Tyson Fury a good enough boxer to where his size advantage makes it very difficult to beat him in a boxing match. So yeah, going back to that, I don't think what's his name can beat Lomachenko in a boxing match. Now, if he get dirty and turn into a dog, I mean that's a different story. But him trying to win a boxing match, it probably won't bode well for him. Javante, I think if Javante – so the thing is, Javante probably will be down on points. You know, like if he don't jab and stuff like that, he probably be down on points. But if he catch what's his name, it could be lights out as soon as he hit him. But that's the thing. How long will it take before he hit him? Will it be in around 10, you know, something like that? What's the other lightweights? The dude who got chest cavity problems and, you know, yeah, I kind of feel sad for the man, you know, like a lot of stuff happening. Let's say it is true. That kind of sucks. But what I'm starting to see with him, which one of them Wizard of Oz characters didn't have no heart?
The Cowardly Lion?
Yeah, I think it's something about him. Like, he's definitely a front runner. And, you know, when you... everything going well, you can tell, like, you know, he's very boisterous and whatever. And it probably could be a result of his childhood. I ain't no shrink, you know, so I ain't trying to, like, you know, write off the dude life. But I'm saying, if you come up and all you see is sort of this false bravado and, you know, son, live up to what I'm telling you, you know, blah, blah, blah. And then really you just sort of this, like, feeble person who, when life, like, come against you, you know, you, like, quiver. And it's just like when he... It appears that when he faces resistance at times, he doesn't respond well. Even at the end of that Lomachenko fight, well, he did respond well there because he dug deep in that last round and like won that last round. But before that last round, it was looking bad for him. So, yeah. What's some other people?
So you got Kambosos.
Oh, Kambosos.
Yeah.
Well, Kambosos just... Well, Kambosos beat what's his name? Does Kambosos? I think Kambosos probably loses, but he does it in a fashion to where Lomachenko, like, oh man, Lomachenko be wishing the fight to be over with. I think I'm not sure Kambosos is has enough skill. Is that the word? I think Kambosos gives him a lot of trouble, but, you know, the skill sort of win at the end of the day. I don't know. I have to think about that one.
Interesting. MVO, yeah. Who do you think who do you think Lomachenko would be? You there, MVO? Looks like he's in and out of... I don't know what it was.
Oh, you can't hear me?
Yeah. Oh, no, I didn't at that time. Now we can.
Yeah, I said I don't think Lomachenko could beat any of these young boys. Lomachenko, to me, does not have the hand speed or the stamina to deal with these young boys.
Man. So even with the guys like, you know, I was saying when Sherelle asked the question, I said Kambosos would get him. As I think that, you know, he has the mentality that he could beat anybody in the lightweight division. And that includes Lomachenko. And I think Lomachenko pretty much had a majority of his career as this decorated amateur fighter that had 500 amateur fights. And, oh, he's beating this guy and he's beating that guy. And he is testing himself in featherweight and super featherweight. And now he's at lightweight and he got these titles at lightweight. And so, since he got these titles at lightweight, he is the greatest thing ever. When Teofimo Lopez faced him, he was like, I don't care what you did. You fight me now. Since you fight me now, you're going to have to prove to me that you could beat me. You're going to have to prove to me that you're better than me. And when he had that mentality against Lomachenko, Lomachenko kind of froze up a little bit. Those exchanges weren't necessarily in his favor anymore. And so when that happened, things had to switch up for him. And so, yeah, he had a couple of rounds when he was getting the better of Teofimo Lopez. But when it came down to it in those last rounds or the last round, Teofimo Lopez said, I'm going to get this. Like I said, you ain't better than me. I'm going to get this last round. And that pretty much was it. And that's what I see from a lot of these younger guys is that they're saying like, yo, I ain't fazed by no Lomachenko. I ain't intimidated by Lomachenko. I'm here to take him up the, you know, take him up the pasture. I'm here to retire the man, you know? So I think that's the mentality that, you know, most of those guys are going to have against Lomachenko is that, yo, I want to be the one that not only beats you, but stops you. And once you have that, then I don't know if Lomachenko is going to be able to, you know, kind of like, you know, have the upper hand against a lot of those guys there at lightweight, especially, you know, with him being there at 33, 34 years old, man. Like, Father Time's going to be catching up to him. You know what I'm saying? So you're going to have to definitely think about that. Man. Yo, I wanted to get into this thing here before y'all jumped in. This whole mess with the 118-pound division. I was going to talk about the whole thing with Donaire and Ray Caballo. Man, why was it that Ray Caballo was kind of like giving Donaire too much respect, man, leading into the fight? Kind of looked like they were all buddy-buddy and stuff. And I was like, oh my God, I'm facing the great Nonito Donaire, 39 years old, he's a world champion. You know, I'll have my effort, I'll do my best, and then you get hit with a left hook to the body and then go down and then don't get up. It's like a fall and I can't get up. And so Nonito Donaire, who should have had a unification bout at 118 pounds, doesn't, ends up fighting Raymar Caballo, gets a win. And so he goes into 2022, and something tells me that he might not fight in a unification bout still in 2022. Had the whole mess that went down, you know, with the other guy, John Rio Casimiro, who missed weight, but they claimed that it was an illness. So the WBO, for some inexplicable reason, said that he could keep the belt. And so Paul Butler, who was a Mando, could have fought Joseph Agbeko. And they said no. And it ended up not happening. So they had a whole mess with this pro bellum stuff. 118 is a whole mess. Nobody looks like they want to fight now. You're in a way. It's like it's crazy or whatever it is. And that's, you know, basically that, man. MVO, you want to get more into this whole mess with Casemiro and Donaire and them not wanting to fight each other and not wanting to fight in a way and all that stuff? Because it, like, it's just, it's disgusting to me.
No, I don't want to talk about it. I'm back. I'm back at anything under a certain weight class.
Right.
I ain't talking about, you know, we this is our fault. Because we as fans gave these little niggas shine. And now that a little bit of money has been pumped into the division, they turn into divas like every other fucking division. So fuck them.
Can I say something?
Go ahead.
Why do I feel if I would have said that, he would have told me that I don't watch TV and watch boxing matches, which was going to be very similar to what I said. I was going to say I don't care, be honest, beneath a certain weight class, but I feel like Matt would have told me that's because I don't watch, like, all of boxing.
Nah, I wouldn't say that, man. Don't say that. Come on. Come on, man. You act like me and you got some sort of beef, man.
You're
Mike Brady. You're the man.
I take your side against people who have poor arguments and stuff.
Yeah. Thank God that guy's not here no more.
Well, I kind of enjoyed him coming. You know, he JR paid him to bring drama to the show. So, you know, I figured out what was going on. So I was like, hey, why not have him?
Yeah, JR be hot. Yeah, for real.
Hiring plants and stuff.
Oh, no, man. You can't always necessarily agree with you all the time, especially in the sport of boxing. That just doesn't necessarily happen.
But do we believe that Casemiro will be able to keep his belt?
I hope not.
I mean, he shouldn't. And if the WBO does any type of investigating, he doesn't really have any cause. Because we knew from the beginning of the week that he wasn't making weight. And it wasn't because he was sick. It was because he was just way overweight. So to me, if they really want to do some type of show cause thing, what they should have done was see how much he weighed at the time he went to the hospital. If he was not at 118, they should strip his ass of the belt. Simple as that.
So tell me what happened, because, you know, I really don't know what's going on with the division. Like, somebody didn't want to fight or something?
Well, Casemiro was supposed to fight this British guy named Paul Butler as a mandatory, okay? Casemiro, when he arrived in Dubai, way overweight. As the fight got closer and he saw he couldn't lose weight, he pulled out of the fight saying that he was sick. So the WBO said, hey, you got to show that you were sick or we're going to strip you of the belt. But I think that that's bullshit, because anyone can fake being sick and you go to the doctor and all this shit like that. The WBO should have insisted that he prove that he was on weight. And now basically Paul Butler misses out on a title shot, misses out on a payday, loses money because I'm pretty sure he had to pay for training. You know, training's not free. Sparring partners are not free. So he lost money for no reason because Casemiro couldn't be disciplined. Casemiro used to be with Memo Heredia, and Casemiro left Memo Heredia and went to a different strength and conditioning coach. Now, I think his name is Steven Luna Jr. So he went to a different strength and conditioning coach. And now all of a sudden, he's having problems making weight. It's not a coincidence.
But he never had problems making weight before.
I mean, he has, but that's why he went to Memo. You know, Memo got that good stuff. A lot of people think that Memo's giving them PEDs and stuff like that. Because, you know, Memo Heredia does have passed with PEDs.
Yeah. The thing is, Mike, you know, Matt and I, you know, had a quote-unquote insider that was, you know, indirectly involved with the fight card that was going to include Casimiro fighting Paul Butler. And, you know, when he saw Casimiro, it was like, ain't no way the dude was going to make 118 pounds. So that day of the weigh-in, like, that's when, you know, we initially had a report and that I had posted on Twitter that it was like Casimiro would might likely lose the WBO belt because he wasn't making weight. But later on, you know, we come to find out that he didn't even go to the weigh-in. That's where the whole thing came up, that he was sick and that he went to the hospital. And so the WBO basically gave him a conditional thing there for him to keep the belt as long as they could prove that he went to the hospital with those type of issues. But like MVO said, if he wasn't at 118 pounds for hitting the hospital, they should still strip him, because Pro Bellum went through the whole process of winning the purse bid to have the fight between Casimiro and Paul Butler. And so Paul Butler ends up losing on money, even though it wasn't that much money to begin with to fight Casimiro. He loses money overall because he didn't end up fighting Joseph Agbeko, who was going to step in as a replacement opponent, and it would have still been a main event there in Dubai. So he didn't get any type of purse for any of it. So now, if you're going to have the WBO give Casimiro the benefit of the doubt and have him keep the title, then he should be able to fight Paul Butler in the fight that he comes back in. Because outside of that, you might as well, you're going to have Richard Schaefer and Pro Bellum suing the crap out of Casimiro.
I don't think so. I think they're in on it. So from what I've heard, basically Casimiro was trying to break away from Knucklehead and Manny Pacquiao Promotions, and Richard Schaefer was trying to finesse that to where Pro Bellum becomes his new promoter. So maybe they say, hey, listen, we'll protect you on this as long as you sign with us.
That's a rumor report. That's a rumor report. That's that would be something. That would be something. If he ends up getting somehow, some way away from Gibbons and Manny Pacquiao Promotions, and ends up going with Pro Bellum full time, full scale, and still keeps the belt, that would be wild. That would definitely be wild, you know.
But I would be surprised if the WBO allows him to keep his belt. I don't think that would be right. Like, come on. You guys got to do the right thing. If you want to make him some little bullshit champion in recess or something like that and allow Butler to fight a voluntary in the meantime, I could respect that. But there's no reason why Casimiro should be the champion anymore.
Yeah, it's just, like I was saying, man, I just think that this whole situation is just a whole mess. And with that little tidbit that you were talking about, as far as like Casimiro potentially trying to get his way out of being under Manny Pacquiao Promotions, that just makes things even crazier there with 118. But, man, I really don't want to speak that much into 118 that much anymore, because, like I said, they ain't having any more unifications going on in there, and it seems like none of those two other belt holders want to unify against Nayor in a way. So, I mean, that's that. Also, you did have earlier in the day, welterweight Conor Benn versus Chris Algieri. Conor Benn scoring a fourth round knockout with the 1-2 punch that pretty much knocked the bejesus out of Chris Algieri before he hit the canvas. So Conor Benn's there still undefeated. And For some reason, I don't see some, you know, people around welterweight kind of like mentioning Conor Benn, but he's also kind of like doing the work like, you know, Virgil Ortiz Jr. or Jerome Boots Ennis, although Boots Ennis has already faced like a top 15, top 10 welterweight at this point already. But Conor Benn is kind of like building himself, you know, a little profile here and there. So, you know, he said, hey, maybe, you know, y'all could get me in there with a high profile guy, you know, maybe the winner of the two Asian guys there at, over in the UK, Amir Khan and Kell Brook, which I don't think is going to happen because I think both of those guys are going to retire after that fight. So they said a potential fight between Conor Benn and Adrian Broner, but Adrian Broner is talking about y'all need to come up with some bread or something like that. And it would only work in the UK. And I don't think they would even have enough money to afford it over in the UK. So, you know, I think he's pretty much like going to be waiting in the wings to see what's next in the welterweight division that's trying to sort itself out. So, you know, anything about Conor Benn, Matt, because.
I thought it was a good performance. I was very happy with what I saw. I've always been a believer in Conor Benn, anyone that knows me. I thought Eddie Hearn dropped the ball with him because Eddie Hearn was too busy focusing on Josh Kelly instead of Conor Benn.
Conor Benn, yeah.
I think Kelly versus Benn was the fight to make. It would have been a nice domestic dust-up. Yeah. He could have been the one to expose Josh Kelly.
Yeah.
Instead of Avanesian.
Avanesian. But I think that's what it was. I think, you know, he tried to set it up to where Ben would fight somebody and Kelly would fight somebody and then the winners would fight each other. But Kelly just ran into Avanesian and got himself schooled, you know?
So I would like to see Conor Benn mix it up with someone maybe in the top 15. Maybe someone like a Custio Clayton, who also fought yesterday.
Yeah.
Maybe someone like a Cody Crawley. I wouldn't mind that.
Yeah.
Who put himself in position to be a contender. I just don't want to hear Conor Benn mentioned with the Bootses and Virgil Ortizes until he fights someone that we care about at 147.
Yeah, someone that's like a little bit higher up there in the 147-pound division, you know, where he could, you know, get, you know, more momentum to kind of like say that he's a definite fighter there in the top 15 of the welterweight division. But, you know, that kind of like remains to be seen how they're going to, you know, situate that there with Conor Benn, so to speak. So, you know, maybe we got to see about the situation there with Rashidi Ellis. You know, YSM did kind of like tell us that his situation with the contract ends in January. So he'll be, you know, free in January. So.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Is that he's 100% on that?
Not sure if he's 100% on it, but those are like kind of like the inklings there as far as like, you know, the contract situation with Rashidi Ellis.
That would be really, really good for Ellis.
You know,
get him in the mix.
So yeah. So that kind of like, you know, kind of like, you know, just shows the situation there in the welterweight division. I mean, you got, you know, a few good young guys out there. Few guys that are undefeated, you know, that could get himself in the mix there in the welterweight division. You did kind of like mention the whole thing there with Cody Crawley. He scored a big win over Kudratil Abdulkakarov in that co-feature two, Donaire versus Gabayo. Abdulkakarov had been the longstanding number one contender there in the IBF rankings for welterweight. So that kind of like gives an interesting situation there for the IBF once they release their rankings next, as you had Abdulkakarov as the guy at number one, and you had Sean Porter as the guy at number two. So both of those spots are going to be vacant. And the fighters that were at number three and number four, if I'm not mistaken, were Jaron Buchanan and Virgil Ortiz Jr. So
yep.
I would like to see how they're, or like when they do release those rankings, who's going to be, you know, they're at number one or they're at number two, or if both of those spots will be vacant, and that you'll have, you know, Boots Ennis, Virgil Ortiz. You had Conor Benn at number five, so that was interesting. And David Avangian was there at number seven, too. So that's going to be something like that. We have one thing here on the live chat from Terrell. He says that Conor Benn needs to come across the pond and fight somebody like a Mean Machine or Jamal James.
Nah, I don't care about that. We listen, we're not recycling these motherfuckers. Let him fight somebody that's been winning. You know, maybe
he needs to fight who's the guy that everybody's trying to pit against Boots Ennis?
Oh, you talking about
Blair Cobbs?
Yeah, Blair Cobbs, Blair the Flair. Should be an easy fight to make.
Yeah, why not make that? Conor Benn versus Blair Cobbs. You know? Especially if Blair Cobbs wants to say that, oh, he wants to get himself like he's a top-fledged welterweight. Go ahead and try to fight Conor Benn. How about that?
Yeah, I like that.
You know? So that's the gist of that there, man. You know, they had a couple of other fights there. Sonny Edwards got his win over Jason Mama, pretty much just, you know, schooled him there for that version of that belt. You know, I know that Matt doesn't care about, you know, any of those fighters there under 147
nope,
pounds.
But Sonny Edwards is my guy.
Yeah.
That's my guy. I support him. I just want to watch his fights.
Yeah. So maybe he'll get a unification fight against Julio Cesar Martinez or somebody like that. But
I don't think so. Did they say that this guy Sandoval was his mandatory?
For Martinez, probably.
No, for Edwards? Sonny Edwards. Yeah, and they're claiming that this guy that Edwards just fought wasn't the real mandatory.
Oh,
and that
my
Sandoval's
God.
The real mandatory. So Sandoval's going to try to enforce that.
Oh, my God. that's a whole mess. That's a whole mess. Yeah, I mean, Jason Mama was, like, rated number three. And Sandoval was number one. But, yeah, I got to see if, you know, they said anything about, you know, Sandoval being the guy there to kind of, like, be the Mando. So that, you know, that kind of like remains to be seen in reference to that. So, I mean, I don't know about all that. Man, of course, you had Dmitry Bivol fighting somebody, Umar Salamov, to defend his belt once again. Yeah, that's, you know, yeah, nobody, you know, really was concerned about all that. Just another one of those defense is there for Dmitry Bivol. He got to be able to get in there against one of those other world title holders, man. I know that Joe Smith Jr. has a fight coming up in January. I know that Artur Beterbiev is there that's going to fight Marcus Brown. That's coming up actually on, I think it's Friday, that the fight between Beterbiev and Lucas Brown is going to happen over in Montreal. So, yeah, that's Friday, December 17th, that's going to happen. But, you know, outside of that, you really don't have much shaking there in the light heavyweight division there, man. So there's that. One thing that I'll kind of like jump on here before we kind of like put it to a close, and I might talk about this a little bit more in depth later on, is going back to the welterweight situation. You know, I've kind of like been involved in a couple of conversations here over the past, you know, 12 hours or so. With that situation of Kudratil Abdulkakarov losing to Cody Crawley, that removes him from the IBF number one spot. Of course, the IBF title is held by Mr. Errol Spence Jr. And now with Abdulkakarov pretty much out of the picture, some people are thinking that maybe the mandatory will be Jaron Boots Ennis. And that's going to be something there. But we also had like a recent tweet coming from a certain world champion by the name of Terrence Crawford, asking the IBF if he could be made the mandatory challenger there in the IBF. And some people are kind of like thinking that he's trying to force the situation for a fight between him and Errol Spence. Man, I think people need to kind of like slow down on all that, because if they really wanted to go ahead and make that fight would have been made in that particular sense. And so some people are saying that, oh, maybe Errol Spence is cornered or whatever it is, back to a corner. Either he's going to have to fight Terrence Crawford or he's going to have to fight Jaron Boots Ennis, you know. Well, I'll tell you this. It doesn't make much financial sense for him to fight Jaron Boots Ennis at this particular point. So there's only one route for him to go. And you might see something happening. You might see something shake. You might see something reverberate or whatever that word is in the welterweight division pretty soon. Because if you already have Keith Thurman fighting Mario Barrios on the 29th, then Errol Spence going to have somebody. Keith Thurman's fighting Mario Barrios on the 29th. Your Dennis Ugas has to fight Iamanis Staniones, so he can't get the WBA. So that tells you there's only one big fight out there in the welterweight division left for Errol Spence. That is against Terrence Crawford there. So that's the thing about that. Speaking of that whole thing with Keith Thurman coming back against Mario Barrios, Mike Grady, you know, since, you know, we know about Keith Thurman, he's from Clearwater, Tampa Bay area, man. What do you think about him getting back in the ring after almost, it's almost like 2.5 years out? You know, he's been out 2.5 years, his last fight against Manny Pacquiao in summer of 2019. So it's going to be his first fight back since then, man. Mike, you got any thoughts about Thurman fighting Mario Barrios?
Well, with anything, objects in motion stay in motion. Objects at rest stay at rest. So I don't expect for him to come out and bedazzle us. You know, should he get the win? Yes, he should. Styles make fights. I think that do I see him sort of moving around the ring and walking Barrios into shots? Maybe. I definitely think Keith Thurman should win the fight. I just think that the fact that he hadn't been in the ring, like, for example, had he had a lot of momentum going into the Manny Pacquiao fight, I think he would have – he did a good job in the Manny Pacquiao fight, you know, like taking away the adversity that he faced. But one would think that he might have separated himself a bit more if he would have been a bit more active. And I think that's going to be his trap. 2 years out of the ring, he ain't like Floyd Mayweather, who literally has years of experience, different styles, and their body need rest. Even with Sean Porter, I think, you know, if this is him just giving himself rest, that's a good idea, you know, because with his style, he getting to the point now where, yeah, he going to need some rest. I don't think that's the strategy that, let's say, Deontay Wilder can take, because, you know, you know, like the skill thing, he, unless he working and just getting better in that respect, then yeah, maybe. But yeah, if he working and getting better. So what do I think? I think that he should definitely beat Mario Barrios. He's taller, if I'm not mistaken, right? He's taller than Barrios, right?
Yeah, he should be. Although, like, you know, Barrios is a fairly tall guy there, you know, coming from 140. But yeah, he's, you know, he's still, you know, he should still be taller than Mario Barrios, though.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm just not sure. You know, maybe the one time that we used to see him, I'm just not sure that one time is still there with the frequency in which he fights, or the lack of frequency in which he fights. But yeah, it would be I'm sorry.
Yeah, but even then, like, it, you know, he had the thing with one time, but, you know, once he started fighting, you know, higher caliber competition, then, you know, those knockouts and knockdowns didn't necessarily happen. But take that back, though. When I say Mario Barrios was tall for a guy at 140, he is. He's 5'10". Keith Thurman is 5'7". So, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so.
Okay. So that might help Keith Thurman in, because them loopy shots that he throw over the top are very likely going to land.
And, you know, maybe he could, you know, look at the fight that Barrios had against Tank Davis, where Tank Davis was able to score, you know, first knockdowns, basically coming off a right hook, even though, Tank Davis is a southpaw, but he was able to get himself around with the right hook to land there on Mario Barrios. So maybe that could be something that Keith Thurman puts into the notepad when it comes to studying Mario Barrios in their upcoming fight on January 29th, man. But you know,
kind of he like, should go to the body before Barrios does.
Yeah, that's true, because Barrios does invest in the body. Shout out to Terrell in the live chat. He says, with Keith Thurman returning, we'll be in the middle of another get back here.
I hope he does get some traction, because it would be nice to see. I mean, I favor Terrence Crawford over Keith Thurman, but it would be nice to see a primed ED, like ready to go Keith Thurman, who's competitive in these upper level matches, you know, just as much as Sean Porter was. Be nice to see him ready to go, you know, in July to fight Terrence Crawford. But I mean, I wouldn't hold my breath on Terrence Crawford fighting Spence too soon. You think that's actually gonna happen sooner than later?
From things that I'm hearing, it might be sooner than later. It just depends on if you know, certain parties can agree on the logistics of the fight. But if those logistics don't necessarily work, at least not for now, then it's not going to happen next. But I think there's some numbers being crunched. And if they get what they, if they feel that they could get what they want right now, then yeah, we might see that fight next.
Yeah. But yeah, I don't know. Keith Thurman, just inactivity is probably plague him more than it helps him. Cause you know, he fight like sort of off of feeling, sort of. He's a cerebral type guy, and there are things that Keith Thurman ain't like an athletic beast. He just, you know, you could tell he's cerebral and sort of uses what he can do to the best of his ability. And if he ain't been firing off on all cylinders in 2 years, it's going to be, you know, it's going to be a slow night until he pick it up, you know, until he get the feeling.
Yeah, that's true. That is true. You know, I guess that's what he's trying to get used to here against, you know, someone like Mario Barrios. And, you know, with Barrios, you know, even though he has that size there for being at 147, he's kind of like, you know, trying his luck there, you know, at 147 pounds. He's kind of gradually moving himself up because actually he started his professional career at 122 pounds. Like, that's crazy. That's super bantamweight. So he was at super bantamweight, having fights at super bantamweight and featherweight and super featherweight, and then, you know, up to you know, super lightweight, you know. And that's crazy. You know, with someone with those you know, height and reach dimensions. But it's almost like, you know, how people talk about Sebastian Fundora being at 154 pounds right now. So that is almost like an anomaly to see someone that's that tall that would be, you know, in these specific weight classes. But with Mario Barrios, you know, I'd like to see, you know, how he would fare there at 147 pounds. But, you know, going up against Keith Thurman is going to be a very big challenge there for him, especially coming off the stoppage loss to Gervonta Tank Davis at the end of June of this year. So that's, you know, pretty much what we have here for this particular presentation of the Boxing Source Radio Show. We will be back at it there on Sunday, next Sunday. Going to see about being in location around the Tampa Bay area, I guess, next week. So be on the lookout for that. Thank everyone that joined in the live conversation here for this. But for those that are, you know, listening in through iTunes or whatever it is, you can be sure to subscribe to this particular podcast there, where we have shows once a week. And we'll, you know, try to get more content for you here on these the YouTube channel and also through Facebook and Instagram. So if you haven't followed us on social media, you could do so. We really appreciate it. And with that being said, that brings it into this particular episode of the Boxing Source Radio Show. And like I say, the end of every show, folks, the point of boxing is to hit and like it hit, not to stand and trade. On that note, folks, I'm out. Have a good evening, everybody.